to prime time, bitch!
Hello, boys and ghouls.
Boys and girls.
You're listening to Horny for Horror, the galaxy's number one horror comedy podcast.
Yeah, that's right. And it's hosted by three legit horror heads where we do everything celebrating the genre of horror.
That's right.
Bah humbug.
You can be a part of it by reaching out to us at Horny for Horror. That's horny the number
four
horror on Facebook, Twitters, and Instagrams. In case you're listening for the first time, I'm Mono.
I'm Betsy.
I'm Adam. Folks, we do something every week. We try to give you the best content possible
in the world. We're breaking our backs.
We stress out. Mono, you haven't slept in 7 years.
Mono looks crazy.
Or cut my fingernails. Like them?
They're so long.
I know.
I love that you hang up in the air on them like the rings in the Olympics.
Right.
That's how you float around with your nails.
Totally. Well, I got to keep up with Tree Arm Man. You know, are you familiar with Tree Arm Man?
Yes, I saw that picture. That was gnarly.
Well, yeah, right now it's
he has a disease that makes him look like a tree.
Yeah, looks we're neck and neck.
I don't need that.
We're neck and neck for worst hands ever.
And yours are pretty nasty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been poking holes in them.
With your nails. They're full of bugs. I don't know how you get your hands full of bugs, but you're nailing
you
it.
You just put bug feet on your arms.
Bug feet.
What? Fucking shit?
Yeah, do you know? So you're familiar with bug feed?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So, remember that Disney Channel show?
Bug feed, yeah.
Where a bunch of dumb tweens go and just eat a bunch of shit in the woods.
It was great.
I loved it.
Arguably the best Disney Channel. And that's what today's guest, we brought him on to talk about this one Disney show that we all love. Folks, today's guest has been in everything you love.
Oh my God.
Everything you love.
Everything.
The hit list is insane.
Love.
This IMDb is a dream IMDb.
It's a dream IMDb.
Yeah. It is a dream IMDb.
Remember that.
And every time we watch a horror movie, we always talk about how much the character actors steal it.
Yes.
They're always the best
Growing
part.
Growing up, that's been my goal. I was always like, I want to be a character actor.
So we decided to get one. I mean, you've seen him in Jurassic World.
Jurassic World.
You've seen him on Twin Peaks. Working with the legendary David Lynch.
Green Room. Hello.
And that's what I want to build to. Arguably one of the scariest movies of the past decade.
I had to get up because I was having a panic attack during it.
Yeah.
We have today's guest.
Scene.
On top of all that, which we're going to get into, he happens to be sincerely, without hyperbole, the nicest man I've probably ever met.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're so honored to have Eric Edelstein on our show today.
Hey. Hi, guys. Thank you so much. It's so good to be here.
Welcome.
You're a delight.
Oh my God.
You're just a delight. I can't your energy is like, you are like a sun that's getting ready to explode at any moment.
We're expecting you to explode.
Done.
Yeah.
I'll make our show.
Oh my God.
We want to get in all your films, but we like to start, when we have guests, we love to start with, what was your first introduction to horror? Like when you were a kid?
I was obsessed with Freddy.
Absolutely
obsessed. Yeah. I had the glove. I had the mask. I did the makeup. Like, it was amazing. My parents were cool with it, and I went to Catholic school. Some parents were not cool with it.
Yeah.
But I loved
Catholics
it.
Catholics hate dreams.
No, they do. They do. It's a weird deal,
sure
man.
Do.
It's a weird deal. But I could not, and then I couldn't believe it, because then I got to work with Wes Craven on The Hills Have Eyes 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, God. I know. And none of, there's so many things that doesn't feel real in this town.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that was definitely one of them. Freddy was, and I almost wanted to bring my doll up, but I didn't want to bother him. But
he
was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your character name in The Hills Have Eyes 2 was
Spinner.
Radio guy with a lisp. Hilarity ensues.
Very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear about Hills Have Eyes 2.
I do
want to
hear about that.
Well, that was amazing because, I mean, I think 8 months earlier, I'd been bouncing. Like, I worked every day job.
God.
Oh, yeah. I worked at the Starbucks on Highland and Franklin, and I was then bouncing. I faked my way through bouncing, and I think that's why I'm able to play bad guys now.
Yeah.
Because I was terrified. I watched Roadhouse on a dare. With my, that's
I
kind of a horror movie.
I love
that's
that kind, movie no. so much.
I'm obsessed with
the
it.
The world is so fun. Like the world that it's in is so, like there's a villain.
Yes.
No.
He rides in like a monster truck.
It's a masterpiece.
Well, you talk about character actors. Ben Gazzara Yes. And like that, and then Jackie Treehorn and that voice. You just don't get it, do you, Dalton? And you're like, he's just a hero.
Yes.
And my buddy Scott and I moved down here with him from Spokane. We watched Roadhouse like 3 times one weekend. Then we drove by the Whiskey and saw it said Bouncers Want It.
I'm getting chills.
Oh, no, it's crazy. And now Scott is like 5'10", but Minnesota strong and can really handle himself. Yeah. I am 6'4", and a toddler inside. If we're late, nobody knows. So we both rolled up to the Whiskey. They pointed at me and took me and told my friend Scott to go home, and they told me you're starting that night.
What?
And then I start, oh, it's terrifying. And you, Betsy, you know me. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a kitten in here.
I would have never imagined
that. No, I couldn't believe it. And I'm there getting trained by this guy named Tony, who's going through the motions. I can't believe it's real. And then he's like, you know, the first thing you do, obviously, before you fight is you should be nice. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like Dalton's first rule. And he looks at me, and he's like, you saw Roadhouse? And I'm like, oh, of course I did. And I thought we're about to have this conversation about the ironic wonder of Roadhouse. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, all right, if you saw Roadhouse, you're going to be okay. I saw Roadhouse my sophomore year at college, and I said, what the fuck am I doing here? Dropped off and bouncing since.
No!
Oh, my God.
I got so scared. And then, the new guy is not allowed on the mosh pit. The new guy has to go upstairs with the bands. And I'm sitting there trying to act like I'm disappointed. And like, there's a folding chair up there for you. And I asked the bar manager, Tisa, whose dad was Mario, who like kicked out Jim Morrison. I'm like, can I read? And it was clear no bouncer had ever asked that before. She's like, yeah, you can read. So I spent 8 months up there reading and loving it and talking like bands.
The bands.
It was the best. Then I got promoted. And then I was like, well, can I stay up here? And all the bouncers were shocked. Nobody ever wanted to stay up. And then they knew I didn't want to fight. And then none of them would talk to me. But then soon after, The Hills Have Eyes 2. And it's one of those like Hollywood miracles where I'm like, I'd never left the country. And then I'm on my way to Morocco to be in this movie that Wes Craven and his son Jonathan wrote. Wow. And it was just an absolute dream.
Wow.
And the cast was amazing. And the whole time I'm pinching myself. I can't believe it's real. And they put you through military training, which, Betsy, I'm sure you've figured this out. Anytime an actor's like, yeah, I mean, it was really tough, and they put us through, it's bullshit.
Really?
Yeah! It was like half a day with two armorers, and they'd be like, Private Edelstein, get down to the ground! If your knee's okay. And
if your knee's okay.
For real. So whenever I see that American Sniper stuff, we're like, yeah, we were there in trench for 8 months, and, you know, we're basically SEALs now. I'm like, shut up. No, you're not.
You, like, learned how to hold the gun kind of properly.
Barely.
And in most of the takes, you're not doing it right.
No, no. Why? Because they're actors.
Yes.
Like, don't tell me you're a SEAL.
That is such that, PR bullshit. That's so funny. Because we hear about that with every new project that's coming out. Well, you know Chris Evans to be Captain America. He drank egg whites for 48 hours straight. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
He put himself through hell.
Yeah.
We're lucky he's fucking alive.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he was okay.
Yeah,
he was fine. Yeah. He was fine.
You guys will make sure nothing happens to him.
Oh, yeah. He's the money. They're going to take care of the money every second.
Yeah.
He's insured. Do you have any favorite memories from the Hills Have Eyes 2 set?
I mean, I just remember there were a million. The funniest thing was Wes and his son were actually not there when we did it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And they came in later and did not love the first cut.
Holy
but I had
shit.
Already left. And then it's one of those things where you're doing nothing forever, and then you have two things thrown at you.
Yes.
So I barely got out of Morocco to do my friend's tiny independent movie that I think cost like 80 grand or something, Mariana Palka, this movie called Good Dick. But I really wanted to do it because I was playing like a happy friend.
Oh.
And so then I started doing that movie, and the day before they got a call, Wes Craven's taken over the movie, and he wants you to come back to Morocco. Now, I'm not kidding. I was Jim McMahon 2 years in a row for Halloween, and I was Freddy Krueger for at least two, maybe three.
Yes.
And I'm in the position now of having to say no to, like, Wes Craven, a hero.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And
this makes me want to cry.
Oh, yeah. And, like, all of my friends in Morocco were still there, and they all had much bigger resumes and had done more than me, but I wasn't going to go back. Because I had to start this other thing, and it was like Martin Starr, Mark Webber, Jason Ritter. It was so fun.
Awesome. Yeah.
And so then the solution they had, they got a stunt guy, shoved t-shirts inside his uniform to make him appear heavier, and then they put my head on him to add these scenes. So I show up at a sound studio knowing they're probably going to be like really kind of pissed because I knew that I'm costing them money, and they're matching my head in Studio City on a Moroccan stunt guy that they shoved t-shirts in his uniform.
Oh my
but
God.
I'm telling you, I know they say don't meet your heroes, but 9 times out of 10 for me, meet him.
Yeah.
Because Wes Craven was so absolutely wonderful.
Oh, that's
and I had a clue because his son Jonathan is one of the all-time great guys. You're like, oh, okay, this guy, Wes was so cool. He kind of showed up. He's like, what movie did you do? Good Dick. Okay. What was the budget? I'm like, I think it's like $80,000 maybe, Wes. He's like, okay, I think we're spending like maybe $120,000 today. I'm going to go through today as we go along. And then he looked at me and then he just started laughing. And he's like, you're great.
So
I would just sit there and he would just go, okay, a little more sad. And I was just like pinching myself because he wasn't mad. And he was Wes Craven. And he was so damn cool.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he took a picture with me and I'm like almost crying in the picture, you can tell.
Yes.
And he was just the fucking best.
Wow.
Wes Craven.
That makes me so happy. It is like, I feel that thing of like, don't meet your hero. I feel for the most part, people are pretty rad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's pretty rare to meet a shithead.
Right.
Because I feel in this world and industry, like, you can't be too much of a shit. I mean, some people can, but like, for the most part, people want
to
work with you. You need people to want to work with you and be with you and, oh.
And well, imagine the talent you have to be to overcome being an asshole. Because there's so many, like, I'm definitely have a healthy confidence. There's at least 5 to 7 guys consistently beating me out on auditions that can do what I do. And if they're a dick on set, they'll bring in me or someone else. Where I'm like, a big part of this is just being cool.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like the people with staying power, I don't really know if I've worked with any hero or person yet that's been disappointing. From Patrick Stewart to David Lynch. They've all been really good. I went up to one actor after a play once who was a bit of a childhood hero. I won't mention his name. And he was not incredible.
Okay.
But that was also like my second year in LA. Yeah. So I didn't quite know the protocol.
Let's spend the rest of the episode guessing.
Trying to guess.
Oh, yeah.
And you,
those are pretty huge odds.
I'm trying to think of anybody.
Yeah. It's awesome, man.
Met some huge people who then were also cool. That's good odds.
I do want to ask you then, because you say like personal heroes, and then you said David Lynch right there. You're in the new season of Twin Peaks. And Twin Peaks, the pilot for Twin Peaks to me, the original pilot, is the greatest pilot ever made, in my opinion.
Oh, man.
I think there's nothing better with like horror, sci-fi, comedy, drama,
mystery.
Like every genre box gets checked, and it's done in the most sincere, perfect way. So I just would love to hear about your experience being on Twin Peaks.
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, and I have chills right now talking about it. It was my favorite show as a kid, I would watch.
Can you believe it? You get to be on it.
I still can't.
It's so rad.
Every episode on the couch with my mom.
Oh,
as a young dork in Vancouver, Washington, could do. And it was also the Northwest, which we don't see.
Of course.
Yeah.
And also, I think for me, Twin Peaks was kind of the first taste of the art house.
Mm. Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes.
You weren't seeing Fellini in Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah.
But when Twin Peaks came on, it was this familiar, weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing. And then I remember years later when I heard they were doing, I'm like, gosh, that would just be the dream. And weirdly, this is a funny story that's out now, but I did Transcendental Meditation.
Yeah.
And I did it with Simon Helberg and Michael Cera.
Okay.
Just because Michael's like a seeker and we all talked and I was like, I'll go to this orientation thing. Sure.
Yeah.
So they do this great orientation. And then at the end, they're like, and then they mention how much money it's going to be. And I remember thinking, oh, God.
Oh, dear Lord.
We got Big Bang Theory. We got Knocked Up. And I don't have any money. I did the math in my head. I'm like, if they run my card right now, I don't have it.
You're living off your Good Dick residuals.
Oh, yeah. Those are
huge.
I think I made about $20 total for that. But like, I'm like completely nervous. But then it kind of worked out. And then I went through the program and I did it. And I still completely do TM and believe in it. But at the end, this TM teacher named Pookie came in and she's like, hey,
are you sure, was it a mono character?
Yeah.
I think it might have been a mono character.
I didn't want to mention it, but I thought it might be.
Hello!
There it is.
It was you fucker!
Give me the money.
I'm Pookie.
That wasn't even David Lynch, was it? All I can do is take my hat off. That's a great character model.
Thank you. I'm really good at weaseling my way in.
Dude, no one's going to doubt it.
And I got your stuff in the new season.
Dude, it was great.
Yeah.
It was incredible, man.
Yeah.
But she Pookie came in and she's like, well, we're just starting this David Lynch Foundation out here. And David heard that some actors had meditated, and he'd like to meet you guys, and if you want to come out and meditate.
What?
And I'm like, there's no way. And again, this is, you know, happening because of Michael and Simon, but I'm like, hell yeah. But also, I'm like, there's no way this is happening. And then we got a call one day to go to David Lynch's concrete mansion. And we go up there, and he's just out. At the time, he wasn't doing anything in film, and he was just painting.
Yeah.
But he was wonderful, and he talked to us all about TM, and he asked each of us, and he's like, where are you from? And I'm like, Spokane. I think you lived there for a while. He's like, Spokane. I remember those Ponderosa pines and the Air Force planes flying overhead. Of course. And then that was where he told me the thing I regurgitated earlier, where he just was so sweet and gave us advice, and I could definitely see him in that moment looking at Michael. And I think the seeds of the Wally Brando character were taking root there.
Yeah. Such a funny character.
But then
character.
He just remembered to always focus on the donut, not the hole.
Oh.
And it sounds so simple, but so often in life.
It's so easy to forget
like
that.
Like we're talking about, you look on Instagram, you think everyone else in the world is working but me and all this other stuff. And then there's times there where I sit down with you guys and you're talking about my IMDb. I'm like, I got to
focus on that donut. This donut's
this is awesome.
Fucking delicious.
Yeah, it's got frosting on it.
Yeah. It's sprinkles.
So... maybe a year and a half later, I hear about the new Twin Peaks, and I'm like, oh God, I don't want to get my hopes up too much. Yeah. I already meditated at his house. I'm playing with house money. But I went out for an audition, and then you go out to this deep industrial place in the valley.
Yeah.
That is what you would think of as a David Lynch place.
Yes.
Not near any other studio. Yes. You walk in there, and it's various people in... you know, form-fitting velvet suits and facial hair and mustaches, and then I look like a grip that wandered in. But
you have a utility belt on.
Yeah,
a leatherman.
I would have PA'd on that. I would absolutely. Are you kidding?
Of course.
And weirdly, everyone else that worked on it had the same thing. Like my buddy George Griffith that played that fucker Ray.
Yeah.
Literally sent a note saying, "If you just want me to brew coffee on set, I will do it."
Yes.
But somehow, and thank God, during my audition, I laughed. I giggled. And he heard it and then started formulating in his head some way to get the giggle in. And I think he heard it like music. But the whole time I was there, I was sure I was there because of the TM thing with Michael. And he's like, oh, sure, Michael's giant friend. Whoa, we can use that giggle somewhere.
Yeah.
On the last day, his assistant, Michael Baril, a wonderful guy, came up and was like, didn't you come out to the house with Michael Cera and meditate? I'm like, yeah, I did. I think that's kind of how I got here. He's like, I don't think David is aware of this. And I'm like, no, really? He's like, no. So I watched him. He went over to David. And then he looked at me and goes, oh my gosh, that was you. Are you kidding me? Oh my goodness. Are you still doing TM? Oh, fantastic. Oh my gosh. And he didn't.
Oh,
it was
my
only, and it's one of those
God.
Things I never planned. Yeah. Last thing I want to do is do a goofy giggle in an audition.
Right.
But then on set, he wrote this part, and I'm with Dave Koechner and Larry Clark. And Koechner's just one of my heroes. Like,
yes. I love
this
him
year
so
on
much.
Saturday Night Live. Yeah. You saw him as Teddy Roosevelt last night in Drunk History. He's amazing.
Oh, shit.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, he kills it. He is Teddy. Oh. And Koechner's the coolest. And all it was only going to be two brothers. And then he wrote me in, and then I wasn't in the script. And he got this little letter saying, don't worry, you're not in the script. David's writing a part for you. So before as they're lighting, he go, okay, I just want you to blurt out two and kind of stop the third. And I go, yeah, that's it. And then the other amazing thing is I've always had a fear of memorizing lines.
Oh my gosh.
And it's my big thing.
Yeah.
And like one day they're lighting for this thing. He's like, okay, come here. Fusco, come here. And he sits down. I see he has this thing written out. And I'm like, this is literally my nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a recurring nightmare that I'm seeing with David Lynch, and he's got a paragraph I'm going to have to say.
A guy who chooses every word carefully.
Yep.
To be like, this is the perfect line of dialogue for this character.
Yeah. And I was terrified, but it's like, this is why, like, sometimes you just see some people are just incredible leaders that empower you to do a little bit better than you would have done.
Yes.
He like looked at me in that moment in this amazing intuitive way. And he's like, don't worry, you can have the paper right there. No one's going to see it. So I was like, wow. So it was there, and I got it word perfect, but the amazing thing is when you watch it, you can see the paper right there.
Yeah.
He didn't give a shit. No, and he just wanted me happy and comfortable. Now, the only thing I wish I had was he wrote it out in longhand.
Oh, keep
and
it.
I tried. And then he gave it to the PA.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's like, we'll go have that type for you, detective. And then I was like, oh, I can just take that. You don't need to type. He's like, no, we have to type it. I'm like, let me have it. Like, we're typing. And at the same time, if I didn't have like this big scene I just found out about, I'm a big memorabilia guy.
Yes.
I would have fought for that. Oh, so I'm sure it'll end up in some auction somewhere. Damn, and I'm going to have a real interesting conversation with Jess Rona Gurley.
We're doing it.
But it was just
everything.
A dream, man, where I can't believe any of it happened. And it's just the greatest gift. And then also at the same time, I was doing Green Room and played a couple other bad guys.
Yeah.
And I was really terrified of getting typecast. Yeah. And I'm like, bless you, David Lynch, for casting me as this giant, goofy, giggling weirdo and not a killer.
It makes so much sense that he would see who you were. You
Isn't
know
that
what
amazing?
I mean?
Yes. I'm like, I'm going to be some Black Lodge entity, and that's fine. I might be the new Bob.
The new Bob.
All it was was Green Room. Bob. And it is a real weird thing when people come up to you and they don't like you before they've met you.
Is it? I can't. Because I feel I watch stuff. I'm like, ew, that person's so good at
me
being
awful. Me too. I've
done
it my whole life. Now I'm like, oh, God.
To this day, my mom hates Danny Glover because of the color purple. So if she, like when we tried to watch Royal Tenenbaums, he popped up on screen and she goes, I'm not interested. And I was like, why?
Really?
It's like, yeah, she hates him because of that character. Like that it's that effective for people, or the kid who played Joffrey. I'm so happy to hear that. Like, that he's a delightful, because he's such an idol of mine.
And whenever I run into him, he just still, he'll ask all the characters, how are you, detective? How's your mom doing? And he's just the greatest, kindest person.
That's adorable.
Every person he meets, like, I watched him. He did his book signing. It wasn't even going to be a signing. It was just a book release interview at the Ace Hotel, which is 1,800 people. And every person with your ticket got a book. He sat there and met every single person, signed every single book for like 3 hours. And we all just wait in the regular line. And that's like not even like a gold star. Like there's just no in his world.
Yes.
No celebrity bullshit. No bullshit at all.
My
And everyone's loving that we're waiting there too. And we're like, dude, we want our book signed. Are you kidding me? It was hard not to ask him for an autograph on set. Like, and then he's always happy when he sees us, but it meant the world to be able to tell my friends, like my friend Reg, who, you know, we were in that Ace Hotel watching the music of David Lynch. And I was praying I'd be in it. And then to be like, Reg, if you come down, you can meet the great man. And then to get pictures of Reg with him. And only because David Lynch sat there and met 1,800 people. And every single person that left felt like $1,000,000.
Yes.
The best. He's the king.
He's the king, man. To go from comedy to horror like that is so hard, and he does it so well. To have an episode of a television show or his movies, period, where it's like, I'm laughing in tears. His character on the new season is one
Cole's
of the funniest characters in a comedy, period. But then to jump over and I'm legitimately terrified to have the episode that was all the backstory with the nuclear bomb.
Oh, episode 8?
Yes. Is horrifying. Like, watch that not knowing the context of the show, and it's effective as a horror art film.
You gotta have George Griffith on. George would love to do this show.
Please.
And to see him on episode 8 and
what
to hear his stories about David Lynch and On the Day and The Ring and Kyle and like and also George, it was his biggest dream in the world.
God,
to be on that show.
We have to.
Yeah.
It's so weird that like the nicest people in the world can have like fucked up art.
I
think there might be a weird connection. Because same with Jeremy Saulnier that did Green Room. When I first read that script, because I can't back up my size and I'm not athletic, and when I read all the shit they
up your size.
No, I flat out can't. And when I read that script, I'm like, God damn it, I'm gonna be on the floor with a guy doing jiu-jitsu moves on me, and they're gonna pull up my stomach, and I'm not in game shape. I'm not really looking to have that. And all this other stuff. And then clearly on day one, it's like he was there with his family. And like by day, and he's like, and hey, we're gonna have Big Justin here, but we're not gonna hurt him because he's an actor. So we're gonna be real cool with that. And Big J, when we do the stomach, we're not even gonna see it. We're just gonna do it's just gonna be a flick. And I'm like, wow. And then finally, like near the middle, I'm like, Jeremy, you're just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Where does this come from? And he just looked at me and he's like, nightmares, man.
Oh my God.
Nightmares.
To say it so chill.
I love that so much.
He is. And he has this wonderful family. And Macon, who's his partner, is the most wonderful, loyal human. And I also do think there's a weird thing with, you know, the people that play bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of also our version of Nightmares Man.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about.
We have a capacity in us for anger or evil or whatever.
Yes.
For me, for Green Room, I just like, I was really a scared bouncer. What if I play this as a scared bouncer? as a guy that's just a tiny bit scared, but because he has a gun, has a little bit. And to me, it's like a cheat code. Because I'm not going to go research neo-Nazis. I grew up in that area, so I know, unfortunately, they're very real. And I know that they're, you go outside of Portland, you'll find them. And if you do some history on Portland, there's some, some very scary stuff
Terrifying history.
Yeah. Spokane is the open to everybody. That's why my grandfather that was Jewish, his family settled there, because Spokane is very open to everybody, as Portland was not, if you get into their fun history in the late teens and 20s.
But
Oregon as a whole has a lot of like really dark stuff with black people. And it's like,
Portland was originally almost like created to be a Valhalla for white people.
Yeah.
You know, in a weird way. Yes. And Spokane was this wonderful antidote where my dad would make me visit my great aunt Lillian. And she would always be disappointed that my grandfather converted. But I would go up to this, to the Jewish home in the South Hill. And it was really amazing to see, because Spokane was just known as this open and inclusive place.
Oh,
and it always
rad.
Makes sense. Like Lynch is from there.
Yes.
Neil LaBute's from there. Like there's all weirdos. But I think I think there's a big part of Twin Peaks in Spokane, because they're so weird.
God.
It's on the other side of the mountains. And I'm definitely a Spokaneite. Like I'll end up there. Thank God my wife likes it. I think there's
so for you. Yeah. How do you play such a monster?
Because you play the character of Big Justin.
I played it as me.
In green.
Yeah. And then the key for me is the second they yell cut, I'm not in that.
Yes.
I'm over craft services. And that movie, because you'll run into some people that are in character all the time.
Oh,
and a lot of
God.
People on Green Room were, God bless them. And that's what they need to do. And that's English actors are, you know. But for me, it's like, I want to have lunch. Are we, you don't want to have lunch with me?
I want to make friends.
Yeah, this is junior high again.
We're pretending.
Like, what are you doing? But for that movie, thank God, Anton Yelchin and Alia Shawkat were the most wonderful humans ever. And I would say the worst shit to Anton, and they'd yell cut, and then we'd just start giggling and then start talking about weird music at craft services. And then he would end up driving you around Portland at night. And something like that is, I wish more people could embrace that, because I think we are, as actors, messing around with weird stuff and weird energy, playing bad guys.
Yeah.
And to me, you ever see that weird clip when they told Jack Nicholson Heath Ledger passed away?
No.
It's very bizarre and scary, because there's these, Jack's like outside smoking at a restaurant, and these autograph counts come up to him, and then TMZ's like, what do you think about Heath Ledger? And Jack just takes this big breath. He's like, I told him. Basically saying, I don't know what, there's a really weird book called The Way of Acting that says like, what we think shamans were, they're actually actors. But you're messing around and bringing in weird energy.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're taught how to deal with it. So for me, what I have to do is, I'm not going to be Big Justin when they yell cut. I'm not a neo-Nazi. I'm not getting into that.
Yeah.
And the cheat code for me is to just play it exactly.
Yeah.
Say these horrible lines as me. And then also, I don't have to get dark with it.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing is I grew up there. So I would go home and spend the night with my parents just to get this love. Because I would play this neo-Nazi all day.
I've always been so curious what it's like on an intense set like that, because I've only done comedy, and so it is just constantly just like, we're fucking around, but like, I can only imagine of that just being in you all day, where you're like, I need to fucking chill
specifically for your scene, which there are very few scenes in horror, I think, hit the level of terror that your scene hits. To me, it's like the dinner table scene in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's like waiting to find out what's going to happen to her, and she's just screaming, let me go. Your scene where you're holding them hostage in that room is one of the most intense movie experiences I've ever had.
Yes.
You do so well in that scene.
Unbelievable.
So like Betsy's asking
freaked out
to hear what that's like on set, but also like, I love you talking about like you playing the fear of it, because how nervous your character was made me more nervous.
Yes.
Because you weren't certain what was going to happen.
Yes.
And you not being clear on that made it much scarier.
Oh yeah. And it was really like that. I would be at the Cat and the Fiddle faking my way through it, knowing any of these 5 foot six guys can whip my ass. If you get a 4'9 guy that knows 3 months of jujitsu, he could take down the big guy. And I'm okay putting that out there. But I would start to fake my way through it just out of fear. I'd be like, I can't let you in with this ID. And then they would just kind of be like, and I'd be like, how did they just believe that? Because yeah. I also grew late. I was like maybe 5'10 or 5'11 when I graduated high school. So really? I'm not used to this size in a way. Oh. So I would
because that's
down.
A big chunk of time yeah, that yeah. you...
And it was just bizarre. And I couldn't believe it because I'd be bad. So how are these guys buying this? Mm-hmm. And then that was kind of the same thing with Green Room. And I was like, boy, if I can get away with playing it that way. And then I remember getting that monologue for the audition because I yes. played a lot of bouncers. And they're never given chunks of dialogue, yes. let alone like that. Right? And I remember going to the self-tape place and just being like, I want to get this so perfect because oh, yeah. I've never had a chance to do chunks of dialogue because people assume big people are, you know, don't have that in them. It's a yes. very weird thing. You think they'd think our brains are bigger, but they yeah. assume we're dumb.
You think it'd be bigger from all the omega-3 fatty
Thank
acids
you.
You're eating.
Yes, you've been yeah. eating.
Of course.
Come on.
That's amazing. And then you got to, of course, I mean, work with Sir Patrick
oh my
Sir.
God.
Stewart.
The Stewart. Coolest, dude. Stewart. He was what amazing. Was
like.
He was so cool, too, because I also appreciated he wasn't method. Oh, so we would just be all sitting there with him.
So
and we were
nice.
All sitting at his feet and like, you know,
yeah.
Anton and Allie and I that weren't doing the method approach would just kind of sit at his feet and like listen to him.
Oh.
And then I also just was obsessed with the episode of Extras he did.
Yes.
Of course, by then I've seen everything. He's hysterical. He should be doing comedy
yes.
all the time.
Yeah,
right?
He's done some improv at UCB, but
yeah,
like.
I saw him once. Yeah. Yeah. I saw him and couldn't yeah. believe it. Yeah. And he's always so nice and he's so it's again, it's like we were saying,
yeah.
like he yes. just didn't disappoint at all. He oh. was amazing. And then at yeah. the, you know, at the premiere, I was like, dude, you set the tone for all of us Nazis, which is a funny thing to say to Patrick Stewart. But I was like, he was so goddamn polite and oh. terrifying in how he did it.
Yeah.
I watched him and
he's
then
he's so scary in it.
Terrifying because he's polite.
Because he's so,
and then
which
Macon,
makes you
Macon
feel.
Blair, oh, yeah. when Macon goes, we're not holding you, you just can't go. And he did it in the sweetest way possible. When I watched him do that on day one, it freed me to be like, oh, he's being an affable
yes.
Nazi. That is so
that
scary.
Is so
I feel free to do
scary.
This. Yeah.
Because it is like, be fucking shitty.
Yeah.
Be nasty right. like you are, but right. then to it makes you feel crazy.
Yeah.
That's it's so
up.
Scary.
The weirdest thing about it, and the other thing that influenced it, was I went to Gonzaga, and I was the basketball play-by-play announcer.
Fun.
And they got good my second year, and they blew up, and it was like amazing to see. But we did a promotion one year before the NC2A tournament where we did a free tattoo thing at a tattoo parlor, where you go to this tattoo parlor in Spokane.
Yeah.
And there were these... Spokaneite residents lining up to get tattoos, and we talked one of them to getting my roommate's name, like, will you get number 25 from Mike Nielsen? Like, hell yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Nice people at this yeah. tattoo parlor. I get the next day, you know, the phone keeps ringing, and someone's the person that organized it was crying and couldn't get words out. We're like, what's going on? We go to the front page of the paper, and the spokes review said, Gonzaga players at white supremacist tattoo parlor.
Oh,
someone
shit.
Hadn't vetted it. We had no clue. They covered up their shit. But you never would have known. They were so friendly and oh. so affable. And if they clocked my last oh. name, they didn't say anything. But that stuck in my head for Green Room because it's the horror
oh,
of the monster
so
is among us, and it's the monster that you don't know is a monster.
Yeah.
And
what's
creepy.
More horror? Like, that's it.
That's yeah. the scariest
thing.
A couple Mexican friends of mine were at a bar, like, having fun in Arizona. And they were, like, drinking. They were watching a sports game. Everyone's having fun or whatever. And these guys at the bar, like, look at them a couple times. They're like, oh, they, like, must want to hang out or whatever. My friend walks to the bar. He's like, hey, can I get you guys a couple drinks? We're all watching the same game. And this guy turns around and very calmly pats my friend's chest and goes, you're in the wrong bar, friend. If I were you, I'd go grab my friend. I'd walk out the door and I would take off.
Oh my God.
Like calmly to him. And he like looked around and noticed how everyone was looking at him. He's like, we need to leave now.
Oh,
and took
shit.
Off. But it is that like that calm hatred
Ew.
Is very
it's
scary.
It's
always
it's
scary.
So scary.
It's even scary because with the calmness, you know, this person can be calm doing anything.
Yes.
Right. If they're calm like this, it Ew. Sets the bar. Like if you want to like dissect what makes a great horror movie or a great scene, it's that calmness where you're like, oh, this fucking can do anything.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
the end, you see Patrick Stewart is capable of doing
and
anything.
That anticipation yes. of just
yeah.
like, what's going to fucking happen yeah. with these fucking mean people?
Do you
that movie? I told you before, I had to get up and leave because I was having a panic attack.
The arm bar scene.
The wife at the premiere, you know Jess Rona Grooming. Yes. She's an empath. Oh. Well, even me, because honestly, on Hills Have Eyes 2, and this is hilarious, my mom and her book club, because it was my first movie, went to the Hills Have Eyes 2 in Vancouver, Washington. And my name came on the credits the exact time as the woman gives birth to a zombie and then they kill her. And they bludgeon her head.
Yeah.
And at that moment, Eric Edelstein comes up and 10 women start cheering loudly as the woman is being beaten to death. And nobody in this theater can figure it out. But it was my mom's. It was my mom's book club. Yeah, but
that's scary. But to think about a book club.
Truthfully, I grew up with Freddy, but a lot of horror movies now are just a little too gory or a little bit too intense for me. And when I went to Green Room, it was also because they're my friends and I'm watching this shit and I had no idea the ride we were on. So I am, and this is how thankfully I end up in Twin Peaks, I'm a nervous laugher. So I'd be like, each time one of my friends would get killed. And I mean, I did that movie years ago with Mark Webber. Each time I go, oh God. And then Doug Benson thought I was a sociopath.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there and Jess is like, I want to go. Oh, and I'm like, no, please. And then luckily Doug found out and now I've done this show twice. Did it last week. But he's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, I'm a nervous laugher.
Yeah.
It's got me a couple parts in this town, but it was too much for me because also I know, and by then they're my friends and it was so real. It's like, I can't do it.
So real. Yeah. It's a great movie, but it's
was it hard? Yeah. Having been in it and seeing like the practical effects there, did it still upset you when you saw how it's cut together? Or are you like,
the stuff was I was there for, but I was lucky where I was only there for the first half of it, but also I was not prepared for any of it. And the shit with the dogs.
Yes.
And you know,
yeah.
I have my two babies. So all that, and you know, you read the script 8 years, you know, 8 months earlier and you kind of forget about it. And there's ADD and whatever
good
living we've been doing that you forget. And you're like, oh my God, is this really it?
Yes.
And then I realized at the premiere, I'm like, this is really that violent. People are really that into it. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Awesome. This will change my life.
Yes.
I have so many questions for you. You are fascinating.
I'm here and I got
human.
All afternoon, friend. I know it's
tangential. I know it's a bit tangential to horror, but I do want to ask about your part in Jurassic World.
Oh my God.
Right? That's another dream.
Thrilling. Yes.
When I saw you, I fucking screamed
did you?
Out loud.
We all did. Like,
I scream when I see you, friend. You're always the best.
Together, right?
We went with Lapkus to go watch it at City Walk. So then when you came on, we all screamed as well. And then you're the fucking inciting incident.
You're like the first fucking
without
death.
Me, friends, it's a 22 minute short.
Yeah.
$1 billion resting these broad shoulders.
How fucking stoked are you when you read the script? You're like, oh shit, I'm gonna shut the fences off in the rain.
Never
I'm
knew.
Gonna...
Never got a script,
God.
Never got anything.
Oh my God.
And I really
love it. How did you audition?
Yeah. This was really rare. This is, and I'll tell you, I'm constantly kind of shocked how loyal my friends have been down here.
Aww.
Where I bet half my work is from friends. And there was a movie, Colin Trevorrow's first movie, Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah.
There were two FBI agents in it. From minute one of pre-production, Jake Johnson was nagging Colin Trevorrow the whole time to cast Steve Berg and myself as those two FBI agents.
What a good combo. That's all Jake ever does.
And 20% of my parts are probably Jake Johnson adjacent or related to something he's gotten me.
Yeah.
The whole time he's like, you got to get Berg and Edelstein. All my friends pronounce my name Edelstein. It's fine. I roll it. But he's like, you got to get Edelstein. Finally, Colin's like, hey, your two big goofy buddies aren't really the gravitas, but I love them both, and thank you for sending me their reels.
And I'll remember
this.
And
I feel like, and I'm sure it's the same with you, where it's like, you audition for something, get something else, and then I just got that call one day, and it was like, right when I was like, shit, I haven't worked in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's over. Maybe I had a good run, and morning radio, and spoke, which I'll think after any 6 weeks
every
of not working.
Day.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
And then I got the call that will sustain you. Like, do you want to go to Hawaii and get eaten by a dinosaur? And I'm like, what? Oh my God. And I didn't have to audition. They just offered because I would have gone and screamed and 200 South of Bray all day. Please. But then I just got there. I didn't know. And then, you know, I've been so lucky with some of these directors will just start adding things. And everything that people love in the little stuff I want to take credit for, but it's Colin Trevorrow. He's like, what if you ate one chip after you found out the dinosaur is missing? And I'm like, are you kidding? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then I just started milking the eating.
And then some people
bitch because they're like, you're gonna have to match that. You just ate four chips. You're gonna have to eat four. I'm like, I'm not gonna eat this shit.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
Do that.
My wife's gluten free.
This is Jurassic World.
Yeah, this is
gonna
cool
make it
Dorito.
So funny.
Yeah,
I'll eat the shit out of this.
Oh yeah. And then I'd done four episodes of Parks and Recreation with Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Oh.
But this was pre-abs. Awesome. This is he and I are both kind of chunky guys from Washington. And so I was like, all right, let's see. I don't think he's so sweet. I don't think he's capable of changing. But let's see. He showed up. He's still the nicest, sweetest. He's like, buddy, can you believe this? Because when I did Parks and Recreation, he was a guest star.
Yeah.
He was supposed to...
Of course.
Only supposed to be on there 1 year. And then we started having these insane scenes. And I remember he did something really specific my first day. He was like, what's your character's name? Lawrence? Okay. And then when he came out, I was like, I don't know, Lawrence. And I'm like, oh, I can hug you. I know exactly what you're doing, and I love you for it, friend. And then when I went to Hawaii... I'm like, I don't want to impose. And I mean, this guy's on another level now. Yeah. And then he's like, how are you here? I'm like, 8 days. He's like, I have Saturday by. You want to come by and have Thai food? And I'm like, yeah, Chris, I'd love to come by and have Thai food. But I show up there and he's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what'd you do today? He's like, I did the stand-up paddleboarding into Honolulu and back. I'm like, how long is that? Chris, I think it was like a long lift drive. He's like, it's like 5 miles up. I'm like, you were on the ocean standing up paddleboarding 5 miles back. Oh, yeah, that was okay. What'd you do, buddy? I'm like, I had Szechuan for lunch.
Yeah. I ate before our lunch.
I stopped to eat on the way to eat. Fuck you and your abs.
Your impressions are insane, dude. Yeah. Your Lynch and then your Pratt just now. Like,
very spot on.
I love it.
That was really good. I want to ask, I have so many questions.
The dinosaur.
How did you connect with the dinosaur? Because I assume it was just like all, I mean, you're an amazing actor. Well, how did you make that connection in your brain?
That's another cheat code friend.
Okay.
They have like a rubber dinosaur there.
Okay.
But what they really had was a crane.
Okay.
And again, the whole can't back up my size thing. Then they have a vest that is attached to me. And they asked me, I went to the kickoff party. And at this time, I was deep in the drunk history world and loving life. And Colin Trevorrow, all these brilliant directors are brilliant for a reason. Colin came up to me after drink two or three.
Okay.
And the Mai Tais were strong. Jimmy Buffett's restaurant. Not to name drop there. But Margaritaville, you're not ever going to have any complaints.
Dream.
No.
Sponsor
the
show.
Horny for Horror.
Please.
Yes. Margaritaville.
Like, what's the Mountain of Nachos? I love Margaritaville.
Horny for Horror, Margaritaville. It's a perfect combo. We gotta go. I read The Secret. You're going to sponsor it. Boom.
Yes.
But Colin, very tactically, he knew what he was hiring and what he was bringing all across the ocean. After doing two or three, he's like, hey, Eric, we got this kind of crazy stunt. And I mean, you know, they really don't want you to do it. But let me just show you what it would be. And just to see if there's some part of it maybe you could do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it'd be this. They'd have to put a vest on you and then shoot you up about 20 feet in hydraulics with a crane. And you'd go up and then, but it will really look like the dinosaur is eating you. And I don't know if you're, are you kidding? Colin. Let's do it. Character actor. Just try a job.
Smash.
Let's go.
And when you're smashed, you're like, I don't have a fear in the world.
Yeah. No. Then I got up to like 5 or 6 emails the next day from stunt coordinator, producers.
Oh my God.
People like Frank Marshall signing off. And I'm like, oh God. And I think I asked Maddie Carter-Ruppel, I'm like, what specifically happened with Colin and the stunt?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and there's no going back. And there ain't no acting there. I was terrified.
Yeah.
Because I get there and the stuntmen are betting on whether or not I'll go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
And the ones that are betting against me are like, don't grab the cord. You grab the cord, you could lose a finger. And I'm like, oh. So when you see me just sitting there looking terrified, I'm really scared because I'm getting shot up 20 feet in a hydraulic thing. And then the same stunt guy, shot up. It's literally what happened in the movie. I got shot up like that.
Oh. Wow, that's why I look so good.
And then I'm hanging there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they just put in the dinosaur.
Wow.
Good
but again,
God.
The secret is I'm not capable of acting that well.
Yeah.
I was truly terrified of the hydraulic thing, and I didn't want the stuntmen to not think I was cool. and then all this other stuff.
Which go perfectly with a security guard trying to be the professional he might not be.
That's it. You're getting an insight into my weird acting class I'll teach one day. Just be you.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like character acting by just being scared.
I love it.
Just be scared.
No, it really works. It really
works. It's called cowardice in acting.
Dude. Okay, I'm going to patent that before you do.
No. No.
Too late.
Adam, you had a question? Because I have more too.
No, keep going. I'm still processing all that. That's so insane and scary.
But it was awesome. And they're going to take such great care of you. And you're never going to get hurt. It's again like we talked about. All the stuff that makes it, they make it seem like, well, these actors really went through something. Chris Evans, you're fine.
You're fine the whole time.
Did nothing get, like, no
I was
pinches,
fine, except one time I did touch the thing. So some of the stuntmen lost a bet and I felt bad. Because they're like, your instinct will be to grab the rope. And I'm like, not me. I've already done it twice. And they're like, this one you're going up at this speed and your body just, and then I grabbed the thing. And so some stuntmen lost my, it didn't hurt at all.
It didn't hurt at all.
But they can't use that take. And so you just don't ever want to be like,
I see.
I just burned all that stuff. Tech, but they were all real happy. And
that's amazing.
Oh, my God. It was so funny.
What a dream to get killed by a dinosaur in Jurassic Park.
And that's always one of those things where I'm like, if it all ends tomorrow, I got eaten by a dinosaur.
Yes.
Like, they can't take it away.
Childhood moments connecting directly to adulthood. That's
crazy. I had a Dennis Nedry Pog.
Yeah.
I'm dating myself. It was in my Christmas stocking. Because I was like you, Betsy. I worship the character actors.
Yes.
And when I saw Jurassic Park, I'm like, I know I'm not quite Goldblum. I know I'm not that, but shit, I could be Dennis Nedry when I'm 40. I can be a fuck up at the park.
We got dogs here.
Shit. I mean, so I put the Dennis Nedry Pog in an early Photoshop in front of my driver's license. So I would show my driver's license to people, and it was Dennis Nedry.
Wow.
Yeah. And
you
then I'm sitting there.
Yourself.
Totally. And then, like, and then also one day there was a horrible internet hoax that Wayne Knight had died.
Yeah,
and
I
would always
that.
See him at the Vons by my house.
Yes.
And I wanted to go up to him. And I just, because I always love it when people say I like your work.
Yes.
Even if they're scared of green, I'm like, man, and when I see people that aren't cool with, I'm like, man, they get taken away real quick if you're not, who doesn't like people going up and saying, good job, man, thank you, or you gave me a little bit of entertainment.
Yes.
Like, that's great.
Yeah.
And I was always like, man, I'm sure he would have been cool. I'm so sad Wayne Knight's dead.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, then it was a hoax. So a few months ago, I saw him at Vaughn's.
What?
I didn't go up and talk, but I just went up to him like, hey, and this came out real weird, as often it does.
Always,
something like,
yes.
I'm so glad you're not dead.
And oh, my
like,
God.
Yeah, me too. And but he was wonderful and so cool. And like, I just talked to him. I didn't tell him anything about it. I was in Jurassic, but it was like,
yeah,
he just was such an influence on me.
Yeah.
And I was so glad he was alive. And I was glad I went up to him. And I think there's a lesson in that of like, it shouldn't take an internet hoax of somebody being dead to wish you'd gone up to somebody and say how influential their work was. Especially someone like Wayne Knight. But hey, there's a chubby kid in rural Washington watching that sees a pig.
It's like, I can do that.
I can do that. Yeah, I can do that.
So
representation.
Awesome.
Representation matters.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Big time. Oh, I love
that. Look at that. Freddie is a kid dressed up, working with Wes Craven.
Unreal.
Watching Twin Peaks with mom, being in Twin Peaks. Nedry to being the guy
and
who gets
no,
Jesse.
It's
fucking
all magic.
Patrick Stewart.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And all that. Patrick Stewart
in general.
I want to ask you, what role would you like to play in a horror movie you haven't gotten? Any movie, but I guess I do kind of want to know what kind of role in a horror movie you'd like to play that you haven't gotten a chance to just yet.
Oh, wow. Boy, that's a great one, Mono.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm always trying to look for parts I haven't played yet.
Yeah.
So whenever somebody like pitches me a short or something, I'm always really into it if I can show I haven't played that quite yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm trying to think. I think I don't know if I've really gotten to be the buddy in a horror movie that you know is going to die.
Yes.
I've played a lot of bad idea buddies, but not that variation in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would love to play that kind of like.
So
you would be so good.
You'd be so good.
Let's say you're playing that character then. How do you die? How do you see yourself dying in it?
Slowly.
Oh, shit.
And then also, my buddy. They asked him, and he's a character guy. So he's on this action adventure show on CBS that's coming up, and they're like, all right, all of you, what's your like dream for an action adventure? And then they looked at my buddy, and he's like, I want to be a hostage. So he's like, I want to be negotiation. So I would probably like to be the one that's being tied up, and then the bad guy shoots him.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's good.
How about you guys?
Who would
dream
be in
thing
a
in a horror movie? Yeah, what's your dream way of getting killed?
Dream way of getting killed.
Let me think.
I want to get laminated.
Dude, Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is great.
You'd be an incredible laminate, man.
That'd be great.
Like a horror office space or something?
Yeah. Does like blood seep out in that like flat plastic?
Oh, hell yeah,
dude.
That would be good.
You may have to write that for yourself.
Okay, I'll write that down.
That's good.
I want to be blown away to skeleton. Like I look at someone and I go, hey, what's your fucking problem, moron? Boom! And all my skin and insides are gone, and my skeleton's standing there for a second, and it like kind of wiggles.
Yes!
And then it falls straight down.
Very good.
Blown away to skeleton.
Tote, was he big influential for you in Indiana Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course. Oh, yeah, when his face melts. I wouldn't mind a face melt.
A good face melt would be incredible.
That scream is awesome, too.
I think, getting shoved out of a window to then land on a spiky fence.
Sure.
I think that would be really good.
It's your stomach, so it's the slow death.
I'm still twitching and just like...
What's your line when you're on the spike?
Your outline.
Yeah, your death line.
That's your death line.
Let me think.
I'm gonna pitch. Well, okay, you go, yeah. you go.
No, you go ahead.
What's the point of all this?
How does dying feel? Well, I'm kind of on the fence about it.
That's it. That's the one.
Well, you want that last moment. And now I realize I forgot to mention this. That was actually how the thing Colin said to me to get me into the stunt was he looked at me. I mean, these directors know what actors want to hear or do.
Yes.
Where he looked at me and said, see, the thing is, though, if you could stand in for that stunt, we'd be able to get a last little close-up of you just accepting your death.
Yeah.
And he's like, but it's tell Eric we wouldn't ask you. No. I want the close-up thing you said.
I need that close-up.
You
want
the pathos.
You were still drunk on set from those Mai Tais.
Thank God. No, they gave me 4 days. Never drink before you shoot.
I also have a pitch that I want to see you in a scary movie or any movie. I think it's scary. I don't know why this came to me. I want to see you as like an adult Augustus Gloop. Like a rich, creepy man-child.
That would be incredible.
Who like hires some sort of like some servants to bring him people that he can torture.
That would be awesome. See, Mono, you're on the team. Because I want to do more of the like higher status bad guys.
Yeah.
I want to play like lawyers and doctors.
So just to spitball on this,
please.
you got a crazy mustache
that comes down.
And it's like you're in the South. And it's like you own a huge land.
Yeah.
Like it's named like Terra or whatever. You have like a name for your estate and you have these people brought to you.
Okay.
That's awesome. But you are like a high powered lawyer.
Yes.
In the daytime.
Yes.
And so everybody respects you.
So it's so easy to get away with it.
I'm so in.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Let's write this movie. We're going to do this.
I'm attached, guys.
Here we go.
Was that 60 bucks Canadian per day? I'm in.
Manifesting it.
Done. This is happening.
Movie is happening.
Yay.
You're amazing. I have one more quick little question.
I know, I have one.
Okay.
After you.
Was there any urban legends? Because you grew up only in Washington, or didn't you also grow up in Maryland?
I was born in Maryland. Okay, my dad was in the military until I was four. So I lived in Alameda, California until I was four. And then my dad got into service.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I ended up in Vancouver, Washington, which is really interesting because my parents love to say, well, we're 7 minutes from the Portland airport, but it's a world away.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of Portlandia. They call it like Vantucky. Tanya Harding.
Yes.
That poor guy John Chow that just tried to go convert people to Sentinel Islands.
Friend,
if you stop an arrow with a Bible and manage to get away, that's the one story that beats getting eaten by a dinosaur.
It really does.
Yes.
Don't go back.
Yeah.
Call that good.
You're done. You peaked.
Yeah. And when I heard you're from Vancouver, Washington, I'm like, perfect. Amazing. Amazing.
Wow.
So are there any urban legends from where you grew up? Any like ghost lore or just like spooky little local tales you recall?
Well, I don't even know if we'd call it an urban legend, but we just know that Sasquatch is very real.
Yeah,
like if you go 45 minutes away to Cougar, Washington, and it's all like in the base of Mount St. Helens. But I also think that's why Twin Peaks and X-Files, a lot of it, Vancouver, BC.
Yeah.
The Northwest, it's just weird and spooky and bizarre, but there's so many people up there that have seen Sasquatch that they're almost like, it's not a mystery to them anymore. It's just like a thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I definitely am a huge, huge, huge believer.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to believe.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I love that.
I'm fascinated by that. In your mind, if you just to make it as real as possible for you, is it just a beast that like somehow evaded evolution,
like, or time
is
forgot?
It or like, yeah, or is it like a weird government? Yeah, is it an alien thing? Is it a government project? What is Sasquatch in
I
your
think
eyes?
He's very potentially an interdimensional shapeshifter.
Love that.
That's why you haven't found bones. That's why you know, there haven't been as many definitive pictures. I don't know if I believe the Patterson footage at all. But I think he's some kind of interdimensional shapeshifter.
I love it.
And one day when we get our great reward and the veil is lifted, we'll learn all of this.
The veil is lifted.
And why do you think Washington, if you had to guess, why that area of Washington? Why is that like a dimensional portal?
For the same reason all this weird horror stuff takes place there. But they also have versions of it in the South, which Washington is very, very weirdly similar to the South.
Sure.
And then I've also done a ton of, my buddy and I wrote a script about Sir Edmund Hillary. After he climbed Mount Everest, he went back to look for the Yeti.
What?
It's this amazing unknown story that's my favorite.
I love Yetis.
Oh, it's the best. And you cannot write the true stuff that happened. And when you go there, the monks are just like, this is the most supreme form of arrogance for people to think this guy doesn't exist. For us, we just know. We don't need proof.
It's almost like aliens, where it's like, how can people not think
that's
aliens
so
exist? Like,
it's
we're
just
a thing.
Us. It's just
us. We're aliens. No.
Yeah, we're a fucking thing.
We're aliens.
How is there not this? Like, it's so crazy to me.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Twice.
Ooh, I love
you. Fascinating. Your stories are never ending. Adam,
do you believe in the supernatural?
Oh yeah, good.
Absolutely. I really want to believe, but I've never seen a ghost yet. Okay. I'm going in a week and a half to stay at the Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg, which is supposed to be very haunted. And then I also tried to stay at the haunted room in my Palm Springs, which is Bakersfield, California. I stayed at the Padre and specifically asked
haunted.
But I didn't have any. I didn't have any experience because they're so nice there. They're like, we can upgrade you to a cattleman suite for free.
Let us upgrade you.
This one is not haunted. And I'm like, I'll take that. I'm sorry.
I need a thread count,
Betsy. I need a thread count.
I'm right there with you. I need
to be comfortable. Yeah, please.
I'm in.
Oh, I love it. Oh, and I'll ask for an upgrade. No, always. And
every flight.
Friendly.
Everything.
Anything.
You need an upgrade.
Anything and everything.
Flights. I'm a tall drink of water. You got anything else there for me?
Yeah.
In the hotel, I'm like, you got anything kind of special up there? Maybe anything. Like, they'll roll their eyes. They know what I'm doing. But you miss every shot you don't take.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%. I feel I learned that from Mano.
Yeah.
To just always be like, might as well just ask.
Yeah.
Because if anything, they'll just be like, no. But for the most part, they're like, let's see what we could do.
Yeah, my dad always just say, you don't ask, you don't get.
It's true.
It's so true.
I would go to Seattle Mariners games, and my dad said our ticket was just a first offer.
Uh-huh.
By the end of the games, we'd be sneaking down, we'd be behind the dugout in the ninth inning. But they'd be like, see? Front row. He'd be like, well, it's 13-1 and Griffey's out. But it was really amazing. I didn't know until I came down to Dodger games and started moving down with friends. I'm like, not everybody's dad does this.
Yes.
Like, here, just act like we're supposed to be there and then just keep your head down and walk right by the usher.
Yeah.
You know, like your dad had you do. Nope. Thank you, Dan.
You always have to ask. That's why when I went to see Britney Spears in Vegas, we walked through security and I saw an older woman with a lanyard and a clipboard. And I walked up to her and I go, you look like someone who could get me a better seat. And she laughed and she's like, do I? And I go, yeah, I believe in you. And she goes, follow me. And I looked at everyone. I go, don't say anything. Just walk. And we walked with her and she walks up to a guy down front and she goes, they're with me. You know what to do. And she goes, have fun. They walked us to the front guardrail. We were directly under Britney.
No.
That's
and we had had like
so
seats in the far back. And now we're like standing under her so close we could see like beads of sweat on her face.
Are you kidding?
Oh my God. We lost our minds.
God,
we like immediately burst into tears when she came out and had a good time.
Did you? And how was the show?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
It's such a fun show.
It's an incredible show.
I would love to see her. Yeah. I want to see everybody once because you just never know who will surprise you. I'm seeing Elton John tonight.
Oh my God.
He's doing like 5 more dates here.
Yeah.
Like,
I have to go.
Tickets are cheap.
I feel stupid for not going. Oh, they are?
Don't.
I might go tonight.
Without making anybody listening who paid full price, I'm going to give away a secret here. I do StubHub, and 9 times out of 10, you save tons of money.
Because you can even find, like, day of.
Yeah.
You got on there right now. Like, yeah. I have a sickness with this stuff, and I track. I'm a hustler. But, like, you get on the day of, and I get up real early now, and there will usually be some weird pair where somebody that doesn't care as much about money will just take what they suggest.
Yes.
But you can get in, like, right now the premier VIP section for Elton John tonight for like, sorry guys, $75 a ticket what? Plus fees.
I'm gonna go Dude, on the we'll second look, we're done we'll here. Right I'm gonna now. Look and if I'll get one.
You
want to
meet down there tonight? We'll even meet you guys beforehand.
Yes. Whoa. Like
it's one of those things where you know, and I'm okay saying this, but I do it all the time, and I'm completely shocked. All these shows are just cheaper. There's eventually going to be a weird thing with Ticketmaster and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Or the scalpers are going to realize they're not able to make as much money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got in the premiere section for $100 a ticket.
Oh,
and then I talked to my chiropractor today about how much he paid, and I'm like, didn't want to mention it.
Oh yeah, me too.
I paid for his ticket. Fuck him. But
I paid. You know. I paid $15. And I'm sitting on Elton's bench.
Yeah,
like while he plays.
He's making me play.
You should be so lucky.
He and I are gonna play chopsticks tonight.
Okay, I'm excited.
Dude, I can't wait to look at.
Oh
up.
My god. Well,
thank you so much, Eric. Oh, this is
so
insane.
Fun. I love you guys.
Real quick, what's your death row meal?
Death row meal.
That's great. I love it.
So appetizer, entree, dessert, and drink. But if you're not a big dessert head like me, you can make it chicken wings or whatever.
Sure. That could be your dessert.
Fortunately, I'm a dessert guy.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this. This may surprise some people. It has evolved over time, but right now, my meal would be the new Impossible Burger from Crossroads.
Yes.
Amazing.
Awesome.
It is
really good.
Yeah, I'm a very unlikely looking vegan.
Recent vegan, right?
Yeah. Well, I was like vegetarian forever, and I was even doing a bizarre form where I would bring vegan cheese in with eggs.
Okay.
And then I was still kind of inflamed, and I'm like, I'll just give up eggs just to be sure that that's not what's inflaming me. And then once I went full vegan, in the last few months, I feel better than I've literally ever felt.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
And it gets so easy now.
Yes.
To do it. But this new version of the Impossible Burger, I could take any of my friends in Spokane or Vancouver, Washington. They would not know.
Yeah. Yes.
And it is just so damn good. I grew up, you know, my favorite restaurant's Red Robin.
Yes.
So I would want to say Red Robin, and I'd want to say their veggie burger, which is really damn good. Yeah. But, you know, if I'm on death row, I did something kind of bad. So I'll try to stick to my vegan ways, plant-based ways heading out. So I do appetizers. The things they do with cashew cheese on nachos now are staggering. So I'd get nachos.
Good.
Fully
good
loaded
app.
And then I would go that the Impossible Burger with onion straws, barbecue sauce, and a cheddar. And then I'm not going to get cheated. I'm going to do a big old brownie ice cream sundae for dessert.
Wow.
And then I'm going to get like those nuts that have like the candy coating on them.
Yes.
And I'm going to have all that. And then
the ice cream vegan?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe what they can do with coconut milk.
I just wanted to know.
Oh, so you're dangerously close to Scoop's friend, which every time I'm on Melrose near Heliotrope, I just start shaking. Because it ain't good for you.
It's still not good for you.
Well, it's too easy to eat plant-based now because it's so good, and there's so much like junk food. Like this place is open by my house that has, I might do these. They're these sweet and sour wings. And I've brought two friends now that aren't vegan, and they eat them, and they can't believe them. They're not suggesting, hey, you want to go to something vegan? And I'm like, we're doing it. Oh, yeah.
And then a drink. We're handing you a drink. What's in it?
Man, I actually, it's a little secret, don't drink anymore. I did a little Dean Martin imitation last night on Drunk History. I just co-hosted.
Yeah.
So they're wonderful where I'm like, I'm kind of taking myself out of the storytelling game.
Yes.
But they're so wonderful and loyal that they let me co-host. But, you know, if you get, I just had some soda water and bitters and a little bit of a pen.
Great.
And your eyes will do it.
Great.
And then I was there. So I think, but if I'm on death row, I'm getting fucked up.
Yeah, you're going.
Come on.
Absolutely.
You're going. Don't you want to get drunk enough that once you go to the execution, you're still hammered?
Shit.
Yeah. I'd be like, let it ride, baby. Throw that switch. Let's see what happens.
Dude, line him up. I'll tell you what I drank in Jurassic. That night where they taught me into it. 3 pina coladas.
Lovely.
I love a pina colada. And again, I love being a big guy with like a tropical drink. People laugh and I'm like, laugh away. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Yeah, and it's pineapple and coconut. It's very good for you.
Can't go wrong.
Anything you want to plug, Eric?
Yes.
Oh, everybody just watch We Bare Bears on Cartoon Network. It's a very sweet show and I just play myself. And it's another one of those gifts where I was getting worried at one point about the bad guys, but this show, I get to go in every week. It's all love. It's 3 bears living in San Francisco, but not everybody's nice to them because they're bears.
Yeah.
Cute.
We can all relate. That's how me, Betsy, and Mono think of ourselves. 3 bears no one loves.
Three bears nobody loves.
Hey, you got a fourth today. Come on.
Yes.
Oh, man, so watch much, Weed Bear Bears. Thank you, Weed Bear Bears.
You're amazing.
Oh, and one more. I have a movie coming out called Family, which is a comedy.
Great.
But it has a borderline horror twist to it in that it's my wife and I, Allison Tolman. She and I have to leave town. So then Taylor Schilling plays my sister, and she has this wonderful relationship with our daughter. And then we come back home only to find we can't find our daughter because she has run off to the gathering of the Juggalos.
No!
Oh, that's shit!
They shot that's at amazing. The gathering. We shot with real Juggalos.
Yes,
shit. Friends, the I insane clown wait. Posse are in our movie. It is a sweet, heart-filled movie, and I play like a nice, cool... friendly dad, which is what I've really been wanting to do for a while.
Yeah.
Because that was my whole plan. Like, just buy time so I can play like happy dad. And then I was like, oh no, I'm the bouncer from Green Room. This might have been a miscalculation. So I love the director, Laura Steinel, because literally at that time, Green Room was coming out.
Okay.
And I love Annapurna for letting her cast me, because at the time, like, who do you want for the happy dad? And she definitely could have won, gotten a bigger name. Like, you want the skinhead from Green Room.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. But she did it. She's the most brilliant writer, and she has a brain on set that is like, honestly, the only other people I compared to are like Larry David or
Holy
Lynch.
Wow.
So she has such good alts. So
I cannot wait
What's more
see
horror
that.
Than a daughter running off to the gathering of the Juggalos?
That's so funny.
Yeah. Is that, when can we see that?
It'll be coming out in March.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
So I'm so fired up. Yes. Awesome. It played at South by Southwest this year, and it was definitely a South by Southwest movie.
Great.
And I will say this, there's another lesson for it. The Juggalos are the sweetest, kindest people.
That's crazy.
Not a gang. Diverse, inclusive.
Wow.
We've hung out with them a couple times now. They came to South by Southwest, and that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't like the movie, because all they ever do is get made fun of.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
And everybody makes fun of Juggalos.
Yeah.
We've all made Juggalo jokes. God
of
bless.
Of course. Absolutely.
And the movie really does treat them with so much heart and so respectfully.
That's
and
amazing.
There's still some great jokes in there.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Look, I know that they all work at Lids, and they do that. We're like, it's funny stuff. But afterward,
Lids.
To see how happy they were, where we nailed the family part and talk about their whole struggle right now with the gang affiliation.
Yeah.
And then that was one of my happiest experiences of just kind of sitting there after with them and seeing that we hadn't screwed them over, that we hadn't taken advantage and
That's
we didn't make fun of the Juggalos.
Wow.
That's
Eric,
so
you're
great.
Amazing.
The family. Oh, thank
family.
You
Can't
so much.
Check out Family and Wee Bear Bears.
So fun.
We love you so much.
Yes.
Have you back for sure.
That
Done.
Was Eric. I'm Mono.
I'm Betsy.
I'm Adam.
Stay horny.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.